Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Hey everyone, it's an absolute honor to be here with you today. My name is Josiah, and along with my wife Olivia and our three amazing kids, we are the pastors here at Elevation Church in Tamworth. And it's my privilege to get to share with you in our series, Soul Space, Part 2. Now, they put me right in the middle of two messages between an absolute legend, Dr. Robbie Sonderegger, and they put me right in the middle of that. And so hopefully I can do my best to bring something across to you. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to try to be a psychologist like Dr. Robbie. I'm not a psychologist. I'm a pastor. And so what I want to do today in our time together is I want to talk about our spiritual soul space. I'm going to talk about our link with Jesus. And here's what I want to do. I want to discuss how God uses limits to both reveal and unleash the unlimited. Because I'm thankful here for the technology that means that we get to be together in a way today. But if there's one thing that I think this time that we might remember for, besides all of the virus, all the other things, is one of the things of this time is the limits of this time. Because let's be honest, at the moment, everything is limited. We are limited in our gatherings. That's why we're here doing this way. We're limited in how close we can get. We have to have the 1.5 meters or the 4 meter square, all of this stuff. We're limited in how close we can get. We're limited in how far we can travel. And you know, even the people who panic bought all of the pasta and sauce, you know, they're limited now to just having pasta and sauce all the time. You know, you're limited in how many eggs you can buy. You're limited in how much flour you can buy. And I want you to do this. If you're on our chat channels right now, I want you to type in and let our hosts know what is the limitation at the moment that you find the most annoying. And if you're not in the chat channel, let me encourage you, church is not an observation event still, even though it's online, it's a participation event. So jump in the chat channel right now and tell us what is the limitation that annoys you the most. I'll tell you one limitation that we're trying to do as parents right now that is a daily challenge is limit screen time. Limiting screen time is a challenge, and I'm not sure that we're doing a great job of it, because if I can just tell a little story on my son, who is amazing, I love him, but I'm not sure I'm limiting screen time enough with him. And here's why, I'll tell you, because in his nightly prayers that we, you know, we get together as a family, we pray together as a family, he started signing off his prayers this way. Let me give you just an example. He just prays for everything. He says, God, I thank you for this. I ask for this and that. And then he says, before he signs off his prayers, this is what he says. He says, and don't forget to subscribe to our channel. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think the boy might be seeing a little bit too much YouTube at the moment. But we've got all of these limits. And it's an interesting thing, because we've been living in an age before this that I would say is an age where we have bought into the idea of unlimited. You know, we got unlimited data and unlimited calls, unlimited text, unlimited streaming, unlimited information for us all the time. But if we're going to talk about how God uses limits, we need to expose straight away that this idea of unlimited is a deception and a trap. You see, limitation is a part of being human. And in our limits today, God is wanting to bring us new freedom. And there's a lot of freedom that God wants to bring in our life when we see the smallness and the limitation of us, but then we also see the greatness of our God. I want to read you a scripture. And it's in the book of James. And some people don't like the book of James because they think the whole book kind of comes across like James was kind of having a bad day. But I like James because he's super direct. And he says something in James chapter 4 here, verses 13 through 15, that I feel like in this day and age that we're living in, he kind of encapsulates, I think, how we maybe were at the beginning of the year and our thought processes versus how we are now. And it reveals to us something that God wants to bring about in the health of our souls. He says this in verse 13, chapter 4. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. Or we will do business there and make a profit. He's talking about making our plans that we're going to go do this, we're going to be doing that, or we're going to make money over here, we're going to do this and that. This is what he says in verse 14. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? I think, just like James here, I think all of us would say, man, none of us thought that life was going to be like this today, how it is for us in this moment. None of us saw this coming. He says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Listen to this. Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. Verse 15, what you ought to say is this. If the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Now, in this verse of Scripture, it's important we realize here that James is not saying, hey, look, you're a loser. You need don't anticipate that you should ever do anything or go anywhere or be anything. How dare you think of that? No, that's not what James is talking about at all. What he's saying is this, is God formed you. You didn't form him. God formed and made you. God gave you your life. You didn't give that to God. God gave you your life. And right now, in this moment, the reality is we are on a rock flying through space, 7 billion of us on this thing with this sun in the sky that's just nuclear explosion after nuclear explosion that's feeding us energy and life and keeping everything alive. And we're in this space where we had nothing to do with our birth. We had nothing to do with our life. We didn't have a choice in it when and how we were born or any of these things. Yet we are here right now. James is putting this to us. He's saying, listen, you need to see the temporary nature of you so that you can see the permanent and powerful nature of God. You know, one of the things in our life is we get tempted to want things faster. We want things outside of the moment we're in. And in this moment of limitation, one of the things I think that is an absolute recipe for an unhealthy soul is to be in a space where we're not in the moment we're in. Instead, we're saying, God, I wish I was here. I wish I was there. I wish I was something else. We want things to happen now. We want things to happen quickly. But that's not how God works. You see, we often want God to work in our life in a fast, unlimited, high broadband type of way. We want it to work kind of like, if you remember the movie from the 90s, if you remember the movie The Matrix, and if you haven't seen it, hey, add it to your list while we're, you know, in isolation to watch The Matrix. And there's this character played by Keanu Reeves named Neo, and basically he gets, he can have these things uploaded into his brain. You remember the scenes where he's laying back in the chair, and they stick the big thing in the back of his head, and he's going through all this stuff, and then Morpheus comes over, and he says, like, how's it going? And Keanu Reeves looks up at him in a Keanu Reeves way, and he looks at him in the face, and he says, I know Kung Fu. And Morpheus says, show me. And they have this big battle. It's awesome. But we want God to kind of work that way. We don't want to have limits. We want God, would you just upload patience to me now? Would you just upload everything, every blessing to me right now? Would you just upload just all of that you have for me, all of your plan, all of that's in my future? Would you just upload it all to me now? We want a shortcut, but that's not how God works. In fact, it's actually how the devil works. It's actually the other way around. You know, we go back in Scripture. He came to Adam and Eve with the very first shortcut, the very first life hack, the very first get it all now, the very first no money down offer ever. When he said to them, because you remember, when God created them human, he put them in the Garden of Eden. He put a limit on, he said, this is where you are. And he made them human. He made them in one physical space, in one physical place. And he said, you can eat anything in the garden, unlimited, except don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One little limit in there, but it's in our nature as human beings to look at that one little limit and go, I don't know how I feel about that. And the enemy comes in and says, hey, listen, it doesn't have to be limited. It can be unlimited. In fact, God's only putting that limit on you because he knows that when you eat it, you will be like him. But if we know the story, the reality is God had placed the limit on them out of love. God had placed the limit on them, and he put them in this paradise because of the love that he had for them. And when they crossed that line and tried to be in that space that only God can be in, well, it caused everything. It caused all the problem. It caused the fall of mankind. It caused the fall of humanity. When we tried to step out of our space as a limited person and into a God space of an unlimited God. You see, we too easily buy the lie of unlimited. And right now, in this time where we had all of these things, and now suddenly, temporarily, hopefully temporarily at least, they're kind of taken away, and we're in this limited space. And it's really challenging our mindsets of our unlimited nature, our unlimited thing, because we have this unlimited mindset of saying, you know, I have an unlimited need of approval. I have an unlimited need for activity. I have an unlimited need for achievement. And so we listen to 1,000 podcasts and we watch all these videos and we do all of these things. But really, I think in this time that God is bringing us back to the fact, and it's a healthy place for our soul again, because a healthy soul knows this. A healthy soul knows that there is a God and I'm not Him. That there is one who is unlimited, who is everywhere, who is all powerful, and it's not me. There is one who knows everything and has all the information and all the answers, and it's not me. That He is God and I am not. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Bible commentary, The Message, amongst many other books, says this about our spirituality as a Western culture and where we're at right now. And I think this speaks and just rings so true to one of the things that I think God is doing in particular with our souls and our relationship and our link with Jesus in this moment and in this time. Eugene Peterson says this, Christian spirituality, the contemplative life, is not about us. It is about God. The great weakness of Western spirituality is that it is all about us, fulfilling our potential, getting the blessings of God, expanding our influence, finding our gifts, getting a handle on principles by which we can get an edge over the competition. But the more there is of us, the less there is of God. I think in this season and this time of limitation, where we're all so painfully aware of it, I mean, you're probably watching this in a living room or something like that and probably wishing you had less limits on you. If you're anything like me, you're probably wishing you could go spend some time with other people. You're probably wishing you could go to some other places. You might have had a limitation put on you where suddenly your work is gone or your job is on hold or your business flow has stopped. And there's this limitation that we wish it wasn't there. And I'm not saying that God has put all these limits, but I think God wants to use these limits to remind us of something that is so important for the health of our soul, is that we are human and we are in fact limited. Our life is a morning fog that is here a while and then it is gone. That we are the ones who are limited and God is the one who is unlimited. That God's presence and God's power is unlimited. My presence and my power is limited. You know, in the Old Testament, they built this place called a temple, Solomon's temple. And they're going to open it up. And you know, how we worship and how we gather these last few weeks has just been totally redefined. And I was looking at this and thinking about how this moment sort of shifted things. And Solomon is dedicating this temple. They're opening it up. They've built it. And let me tell you, it was a magnificent thing. Like, it has got gold and it's got silver and silk. And it is a piece of architectural masterpiece. It is crafted like nothing else, really. And Solomon looks at it finished and he reminds the people before they go in that even though this is a grand and great thing and a grand and great space, it's nothing compared to God. When he goes to open the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, Solomon says this about this temple. He says, but will God really live on earth? Why, even the highest heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built. I think God is trying to remind us that God is not contained. God is not contained to our routine. God is not contained to just a Sunday service for 1 hour where we gather on a building. God is not contained by anything or by anyone, that God is limitless. And I think He's reminding us that we actually are limited, that our role is not to be God, that our role is to come and bow and surrender and to worship the limitless God who cannot be contained. Because when we see our limitless God, that brings us into a head-on collision with our own limitations, and then it brings us to our knees in holy, surrendered worship. You know, one worship song that I've had on repeat that the hosts are going to copy and paste a link in right now in the chat into YouTube to share with you guys is a worship artist by the name of Sean Curran, and he has a song called Bigger Than I Thought. You know, God, I think, is wanting to remind us that He's bigger than we think in this moment. That He's bigger than the problems. He's bigger than what we face. He's bigger than anything. He's bigger than our routines. He's bigger than anything. He's bigger than I thought. And He's got a couple of lines in this song that I love. He says this, I stop all negotiation with the God of all creation. You're bigger than I thought you were. And he says this, I will rest in the Father's hands and leave the rest in the Father's hands. I want to breathe life into your soul and to remind you today and to bring health into your soul to not let the weight and the crushing force of this idea of unlimited crush you. Instead, embrace those limits. Embrace what God is doing. And know this, that in those limits, that God is revealing his power and his grace in you and for you. It brings us into the moment when we embrace who we are and we recognize and we embrace who God is. It brings us into right now, takes us out of the past, takes us from being overly obsessive with the future, and it brings us into the moment right now. And if there is another thing that this time will be known for, it's the health crisis. And really there's at least two health crises going on that I can see. One is obviously the COVID-19 health crisis, but also there's a mental health crisis going on right now. And I think what God is doing is something that is so powerful in us, in that he wants to strip away this notion that we have that we can control everything, that we can be everywhere, that we can do everything, and bring us back to him. You know, we moved to Tamworth almost exactly a year ago as a family. And one of the things that is different here than on the Gold Coast is as we go into autumn and winter, all the leaves change color. Everything turns orange and we get these beautiful orange and yellow colors and everything just starts to shift. But then, so my kids, when they saw that, they were just like, wow, it's so pretty. But then all of a sudden it seems like in one day, all those leaves just calm down off the trees. And all you're left with is the trees. And my kids, when they first saw that, they said, Dad, have those trees died? And I was like, no. They haven't died. They haven't gone away. It's just that the leaves have fallen off. So all that's left at the moment is the structure. And I think that's kind of like where we are in our souls, and we need to just recognize and allow God to do what he's going to do in this moment. Is, you know what? Some of the leaves have fallen off. And like I said, I don't want to make a small thing of it for those of you who have lost your job. That's a big deal. I don't want to make a small thing for the loss of our routine or the loss of some of our freedoms. I'm not making a small thing out of it, but what we need to do is realize that although those things are awesome, they're the leaves that maybe have fallen to the ground, but the structure still remains. And the structure is that our life is built upon God and his strength and his grace. In fact, Paul says that when we're weak, that when we don't have anything it feels like other than the structure, that's when we're strongest. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, he says this. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. And so Paul says, so now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in insults and hardships and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, God loves to use the limited in our life, the weakness in our life, to bring about his grace, to bring about his strength, to bring about his power. And sometimes we think that it's up to us to bring the unlimited. It's up to us to bring the power. But you know what? It is God who brings the power. It is God who brings the unlimited. It is God who knows what tomorrow holds. It is God who has the wisdom for your future. It is God who has the provision for your future. It's not you and me. And so while we embrace our limitations, at the same time we are embracing our unlimited God who knows all things and sees all things and whose grace and power is made perfect in the limitation and the weakness we are in. You know, God always starts small. He's not afraid of a small start. He's not afraid of a stripped back start. Look at the life of Jesus himself, the divine God, the Son of God, member of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. How does he come into the world? How does he make his announcement? He comes in as a newborn infant baby. Think about that. The unlimited God is now in a package about this big, and he can't say a word, and he can't feed himself, and he's totally dependent. God's trying to teach you and show you that right now, right where you are, it might feel so limited. It might feel so small. And your soul might be wanting to be crushed by your limitations. Instead, allow those limitations to absolutely set you free and put your eyes up to heaven and say, God, I thank you that in my limitation, you are unlimited. I thank you that right here, right now, in this space, in my living room, God, revival can start in me. A move of God can start in me. That the future is inside of me, God, because you are inside of me, because you are in me. One more quote I want to read. before we finish, and it's talking about Jesus and all of those quiet years, all of those hidden years, the fact that he was a newborn, and then we have all these years of his life, 30 years of it, that we don't really have hardly any record of at all until his ministry starts. They were hidden years. And this is an author here. Her name is Alicia Britt Cole, and she has written this book called Anonymous, Jesus Hidden Years, and she says this about Jesus' hidden time, and I think it applies to our hidden time. She says, as with a child in the womb and a seed in the ground, God's unanticipated move of hiding Jesus granted him protected, undisturbed room to be and become. From God's perspective, anonymous seasons are sacred spaces. They are quite literally formative, to be rested in, not rushed through, and most definitely never to be regretted. Unapplauded, but not unproductive, hidden years are the surprising birthplace of true spiritual greatness. I want to leave you with just a couple of last thoughts. What does God want to do in you and in me in this hidden time, this stopping time, this secret time? Let's seize the moment of spiritual health, not just to do nothing. I mean, we all have things we still have to do. And when it comes to our life and our plans and our futures, you know, get the grants that are offered to you. Get the do your diligence to keep business going, to do all those things that you need to do. Keep things moving, sure, but let's allow the hidden season to give birth to true spiritual greatness. And in this age of limits, last thing, distance limits, buying limits, travel limits. In this age of limits, let's add our own limit. Let's limit the noise in our life, because there's a lot of noise coming at us. It's noise that can be coming internal, that internal noise and chatter that says, I should do more, I should be more, what's going on? There's the noise of anxiety. There's the noise of all of the media around us all of the time, and social media, the noise of comparison, the noise of distraction. Let's allow this time where things have kind of stopped, let's put a stop in it, and let's limit the noise. And remember this, because it's so important for the health of our soul, that God is big and I am small. But God in me is greater than anything. It's greater than all. It's greater than anything I face. Greater is he that is in me. Not greater is me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, you might be watching this and you might say, I don't have any relationship with God. When you're talking about God and talking about being close to him and talking about seeing him, I've never experienced anything with God. Maybe you've had exposure to God, but you haven't had an experience of him. Well, right now, salvation is available to you today. And it comes in a small act, and it comes in such a simple way. It's something that is so simple, but is so huge at the same time, which I think just fits in exactly with what we've been talking about. Jesus said, and the Bible says, that salvation comes to you through an act of surrender. So right where you are, right there, if you in this moment are like, I need Jesus in my life. Maybe you've had relationship with him before. Maybe you've never had anything like this at all. But either way, you go, I need God. I need my knees to bow to the limitless God. I accept my limitation and I say, God, I am flawed. I need a savior. God, save me. Simply where you are right there, would you just simply pray this prayer and say this to God from your heart? Would you say, Jesus, I give you my life. Just that's it. Nice and simple. You're going to have so much more conversation with God in the future, but this is just the beginning. This is just the small start. This is just the seed in the ground, just to say, Jesus, I give you my life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you today for what you have done in us. God, I pray that in me and in all of us today, God, may our limitations, God, may they not be something that we are afraid of or we spend a lifetime trying to prove that we have none. Instead, God, let us use this season of limits to embrace the limits that you have placed upon us, to embrace the limits of who we are, of what it means to be human, that we are not God. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot have everything figured out. But God, as we embrace that, I pray a freedom would be unleashed over our souls, God, over the very core of our identities, God, over the very core of who we are, to know that it is not my job to be God. It is not my job to know everything. It is not my place to be everywhere, to be omnipotent, to have all these things. It is my place to surrender to the God who is all those things, to surrender to you, God. And I pray that we would see your limitless power like never before, in us, around us, and through us, God. Use us to be light. Use us to be a witness. May the embracing of our limited selves and our unlimited God bring us in a place where we are lights of the world around us like never before. I thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen.